We join with Paul in welcoming everybody out. We're delighted for the presence of all, especially those who are visiting. We're glad that you've come and invite you to get your Bibles and follow along as we look at these various texts from the Word of the Lord on a topic that is indeed controversial, lots of confusion, but hopefully we can clear it up as we talk about baptism, what it will and what it will not do. First off, we want to look at the positive side, what baptism will do, as described in the Scriptures. First off, in Galatians chapter 3, 26 and 27, we learn that baptism will put us into Christ. Galatians 3 says, "For you are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." Paul said in Ephesians 1 and verse 3 that all spiritual blessings are in Christ. So we need to be in Christ in order to enjoy all spiritual blessings. But baptism puts us into Christ. That is, into that relationship where we can enjoy all spiritual blessings. Something else from this text that we see that baptism will do, and that is it will allow us to put on Christ. Look at it again. "We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many as you have been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ." We put on Christ after we're baptized into Him, that we can be His child, to be Christ-like. It allows us to put Him on, to be His servant, His child. Baptism, it will put us into Christ, and it will allow us to put on Christ. Something else that baptism will do, it will let us be buried with Christ, and baptism will allow us to be risen with Him. Notice in the book of Romans chapter 6, verses 3 and 4. "Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into His death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall also in the likeness of His resurrection. And just as Jesus died and was buried and resurrected, even so we follow the same pattern, that we are buried with Christ. As Christ was buried in the sepulchre, we're buried in the sepulchre of water. And just as Christ arose from the dead on the third day, we'll arise momentarily as we come up out of the watery grave of baptism." Baptism will permit us to be buried with Christ. Now, in the denominational circle, they say, well, no, you find life. You just simply ask God to forgive you, and you find forgiveness, and you find life, and then sometime later on you should be baptized, but that just messes up the image. Because if you have life, then you're burying a live person. You don't bury live people, you bury dead people. No, we die with Christ and are buried with Him, and then we rise up to walk in newness of life, is the correct picture and correlation between Christ's death, burial, and resurrection and our death, burial, and resurrection. So, baptism, it will put us into Christ. It will allow us to put on Christ. Baptism will let us be buried with Christ and will let us rise up with Christ. Something else that baptism will do, it will put us into the kingdom of God. In the book of John, the third chapter there, Jesus has a discussion with Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews, a Pharisee. It says in verse 3, "Jesus answered and said to him, Verily, verily I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus sort of scratches his head about that. He says, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter into the second time in his mother's womb and be born? Well, what is this being born again? I mean, this doesn't make sense. So he goes on to further explain. Verse 5, "Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So when we're born of water and of the Spirit, born of water involves baptism, born of the Spirit, that is, the teachings of the Holy Spirit,
When we are born again, we are born into the kingdom of God, into the reign of Jesus Christ and His domain. Baptism will put us into the kingdom. Something else that baptism will do, it will give us the remission of sins. In Acts chapter 2, in verse 38. In Acts 2 and in verse 38, Peter's response to the question, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" He says, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ." That is, by the authority of Jesus Christ. For what? For the remission of sins. Remission means to be taken away, to be drawn back, to have those sins remitted. So we are to repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul was told that after becoming a believer in Jesus Christ, after repenting, he was told, "And now, why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord." Our sins are washed away when we are baptized into Jesus Christ. Somebody says, "Well now, I thought it was the blood of Jesus Christ that takes away our sins." Well, it is true that the blood of Christ is what washes away our sins. Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5 it says, "And from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness and the first begotten of the dead and the prince of the kings of the earth, unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Yes, it is the blood of Christ is what takes away our sins. But in baptism is the when the blood of Christ will take away our sins. See the difference between what and when. What takes away our sins? The blood of Christ. When are our sins taken away? When we're baptized into Christ. And of course, have done the other steps, hearing, believing, repenting, and confessing. So, baptism will give us the remission of sin. Baptism will wash away our sins when we obey from about this form of teaching. Something else that baptism will do, it will save us. 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21. Peter says, "The like figure whereunto even baptism doth also now save us." What does he say? Baptism doth also now save us. "Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ." Somebody said, "I saw Jesus Christ as our Savior." Well, of course Jesus Christ is the Savior. But the Savior will save us when we are baptized. It is the same way that faith saves us. It is the same way that repentance saves us. Baptism will save us when we obey those commands. They are simply the conditions that the Savior said we must do in order to be saved. He's the Savior, and He can grant forgiveness and salvation any way He well pleases, because He is the Savior. He is the rescuer. And He told us what we must do, and that is obey these specific steps, these conditions of faith, such as repentance and baptism. Then in Mark chapter 16, 15 and 16, in Mark's account of the Great Commission, in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be condemned." So he says we must believe. Believe what? We must believe the gospel and be baptized. He that believes and is baptized shall be what? Shall be saved. So baptism will save us if we, of course, are obeying from the heart of God's plan of redemption. Baptism will show our love for God. It is God's command for humanity. In John chapter 14 and in verse 15, Jesus says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." Baptism is one of those commandments. Verse 23, Jesus answered and said unto him, "If a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me." So baptism will show our love for God. It will perfect our love and complete our faith in demonstrating our love for God and keeping His commandment, because He's the one that commanded baptism. That's not the commandment of the Providence Church of Christ. It's not the commandment of me or any other man. It is the commandment of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So baptism will show our love for God. And baptism will allow the Lord to add us to His church. As we saw there in Acts chapter 2, the command was, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Look at verse 41. Then they that gladly received His word were baptized. And the same day there were added to them about 3,000 souls. So 3,000 people obeyed the word and received the word that Peter and the apostles were preaching. Verse 47 says, praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. So, and when we are saved, the Lord will add us to His church. It kind of goes hand in hand. Those who are saved are added to His church. Paul also affirms that baptism puts us into the body, which is His church. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been made all to drink into that one Spirit. So baptism puts us into the body. The Lord adds us to the body or to the church. It will accomplish that for us. So what will baptism do as we study from the Scripture? Well, baptism will put us into Christ. Baptism will allow us to put on Christ. Baptism will let us be buried with Christ. Let us be risen with Christ. Baptism will put us in the kingdom. Baptism will give us remission of sin. Baptism will save us. Baptism will show our love for God. And baptism will allow the Lord to add us to the church. So baptism does a whole lot of things described in the Scriptures. But it doesn't do everything. So let's look at the negative side. Baptism will not give us a license to sin. If we've been baptized, that doesn't grant us license that now we can just go out and live a high old time. In Romans chapter 6, which we've already read about the baptism and the new life back in verses 3 and 4, Paul goes on to say, down in verse 12 and 13, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body that you should obey it to the lust thereof. Neither yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. If we've been baptized, that does not give us then the license to just go out and just live a howl time in sin. If we persist and yield our members unto sin, it will be to our destruction. Baptism does not and will not give us a license to sin. Baptism will not keep us from temptation. It will still come. In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, Paul addressing the saints at Corinth who had been baptized into Christ, he says in verses 12 and 13, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that which you're able, but will with the temptation excuse me but will with the temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear. So baptism will not keep us from temptation, from evil. The devil, he's going to be out there probably even more so after we're baptized into Christ. Even more so, he's going to try to get us back into his domain. Baptism, ladies and gentlemen, will not remove the scars of sin and will not remove the consequences of sin. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, Paul talks about his conversion to the Lord and about his previous life as a persecutor. He says in verses 11 through 15, according to the glorious gospel of the blessed God which He has committed to my trust, and I thank Christ Jesus our Lord who hath enabled me, for He hath counted me faithful, putting me in the ministry,
who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and an injurious, but I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief.
You see, Paul was forgiven, but the scars of all his past transgression, they stayed with him. It no doubt bothered him. He no doubt regretted of all the persecutions that he heaped upon the saints, of throwing them in prison, of doing harm, of being there consenting to the death of Stephen, and such things as that. He still had the scars of his sins, but he indeed was forgiven. Baptism does not remove the scars. It's kind of like you go out here to, just like a telephone pole out there, you could drive a bunch of nails in that telephone pole. Then you go back and take a hammer and just pull all those nails out. You can get rid of the nails, but it's going to leave scars all up and down that pole. And that's the way sin is. Oh, time can help heal the scars, but the scars are still there. Even though we've been forgiven, the scars can still be there. And yes, baptism will not remove the consequences of sin. And here would be a great example of that. Back in the book of 2 Samuel, in the story of King David, one of God's servants, he fell into sin, committing transgression and committing adultery with Bathsheba, and then a whole myriad of sins followed after that. In chapter 12 and verse 13, and David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin, thou shalt not die. And he did escape that consequence, because adultery was a punishable crime by death in the Old Testament. Howbeit, because this deed thou hast done, because thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to thee shall surely die. There's going to be all kinds of consequences. David, are you forgiven? Yes, David was forgiven, but the consequences weren't forgiven. A person can go out and be involved in drugs. Can they be forgiven of doing such things? Yes. The consequences? Well, maybe not. Maybe the destruction of brain cells and other residual problems from doing drugs and such can be there. Sometimes the consequences will continue to stay. Even though the sin itself is forgiven, the consequences are not necessary. So baptism will not take away the consequences of sin or the scars of sin. Baptism will not guarantee eternal life. Kind of like folks will, you know, we get fire insurance and we think, well, we'll just get it and we get that policy and we just set it aside and that'll just sort of take care of that and we'll just sort of protect it from fire and fire damage. I don't know, maybe we get into that mindset that somehow that, well, we'll just be baptized and that'll take care of an eternal fire insurance policy so we don't wind up in hell, but then we just don't go further with our Christianity. Baptism will not guarantee eternal life. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, Peter addresses the saints. He says in verse 5, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and brotherly kindness love. For if you do these things and abound, you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off. And he hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling, election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Being baptized is not going to guarantee eternal life. You can't have eternal life without baptism, because it's one of the commands in becoming a Christian. But it's not going to be a guarantee. Say, well, I've been baptized. Okay, you might have been baptized, but what about all these other things like there in 2 Peter chapter 1? Now that can guarantee, by being faithful to the Lord, can guarantee eternal life. Baptism in and of itself will not guarantee eternal life. Baptism will not change us physically. If we go down blonde-headed, we're going to going to come up blonde-headed. If we go down with brown eyes, we'll come up with brown eyes. You go down with blue eyes, you come up with blue eyes. Baptism will not change us physically. It will not do that. And baptism will not resolve the problems of life. When James addresses the Christians at large, he says there in verses 1 and 2 of James chapter 1, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, unto the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. He is addressing the spiritual Jews, the Jews who are Jews inwardly, that is, Christians, who have received the circumcision of the heart, as Paul describes in Romans chapter 2. So he's addressing the saints, people who have been baptized into Christ, people who have been obeyed the gospel and are in the body of the Lord and Savior of spiritual Israel. What does he say? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or diverse trials or various trials, various temptations, or just plug in the word problem. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials or various problems. He didn't say if you fall into it. No, it's going to happen. It's just a matter of when. Don't know when. Baptism is not going to take away the problems of life. We're going to have problems of dealing with weather. Whether it's stormy weather like tornadoes and thunderstorms or hurricanes or freezing weather or snowstorms. We'll still have those problems. And the problems of sickness, well, we're still going to have those problems. Being baptized into Christ is not going to take us away from avoiding those types of problems. It'll inevitably come. Baptism will not remove the problems of life. They will still come. But then we'll be in a position that we'll have one to help us deal with those problems and handle those problems appropriately. So baptism will not give us a license to sin. Baptism will not keep us from temptation. Baptism will not remove the scars of sin. It will not remove the consequences of sin. Baptism will not guarantee eternal life. It will not change us physically in some way. It will not remove the problems of life. And may we suggest that baptism will not save us against our will. We have folks that baptize little babies. And pictures and the videos that I've seen when little babies get baptized, usually they're crying and squalling, getting all wet, and maybe it's cold weather and they're splashing water all over them, and they just don't seem to care for that. And it's just the parents' choice of doing it. Really, the children, they didn't say, well, I want to be baptized or anything like that. But baptism doesn't save people against their will. I remember a story about a fellow. He was out baptizing some folks, and one of the denominational preachers who baptized infants, he was there watching, and so he come up and just grabbed the guy by the arm. He said, what are you going to do? He said, well, I'm going to baptize. He said, well, you can't do that. Well, I'm going to do it. But he said, well, you can't do that. He said, well, that's the way you do babies, whether they want it or not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, baptism is not going to save us against our will. We have to be agreeable. We have to be amenable to it. Baptism is not going to save babies. You just can't up and grab people just like you would babies, and we just grab adults. Just get the big, strong folks at church, and we'll just grab up the adults, and we'll baptize them without their will involved in it. That's just the way it is with babies. If it works with babies, why couldn't we just do it with all the adults and just up and grab them and just get strong guys just to overpower them and take them and immerse them? No, baptism will not save us against our will. And baptism will not cover a lack of faith or repentance or confession or whatever in the steps of salvation. It's not going to cover a lack of faith. In the book of John, chapter 1 and in verse 12, it says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them who believe on his name. So faith gives us the power, it gives us the right to become a child of God. But if we don't have faith, then really it Baptism is not going to cover a lack of faith. It is not going to cover a lack of repentance.
Sometimes people, they want to be baptized maybe just to get a mate. Sometimes there's problem and some question there, and so because they're kind of interested in this young couple, and one's a Christian, one's not, and so, well, they're just baptized in order to kind of please some family, in order to get married, because the person that's a Christian really didn't want to marry somebody that's not a Christian, and so, well, they just hold out, and, okay, well, I'll be baptized. Well, that's not going to work. Just being immersed. And there's not real faith, there's not real repentance, there's not a genuine will to want to be baptized, it's not going to do any good. Well, here's a bunch of young people, they're coming forward, they're being baptized into Christ, and so others just decide they just go with the flow and just go with the others. Well, that's not the reason to be baptized, because there are a bunch of other people doing it. No, we must do it because we are convinced ourselves, and that we have our own personal faith, and that we have repented, and that we do confess our faith in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Baptism will not cover a lack of faith. If we don't have genuine faith, if we don't have genuine repentance, well, if we're baptized, all we're doing is getting wet. That's all we're doing. We're just getting wet. We're not being baptized into Christ. We're not obeying from the heart that form of doctrine. All we're doing is simply, really, just getting wet. So baptism will not give us a license to sin. Because you've been baptized, now you can just kind of live it up in sin. No, it does not. Baptism will not keep us from temptation. Even more so, now the devil will try to get you after you get into God's family. Baptism will not remove the scars and the consequences of sin. That will remain. Time will help heal and help smooth over. You'll be forgiven, but those consequences may yet remain. Baptism will not guarantee eternal life. Peter tells us how we can know that we'll never fall, by being faithful. Baptism will not change you physically. Baptism will not remove the problems of life. There'll still be problems living on planet Earth, but we're trying to get to a world where there'll be no problems. Baptism will not save us against our will, and baptism will not cover a lack of faith and repentance. And one more point of what baptism will not do: it will not wash away spouses. Sometimes people get involved in adulterous relationships, and they think when the Bible says repent or to arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins, that somehow that'll wash away a spouse that doesn't belong to you. It won't do that. If one is in an unlawful relationship, baptism is not going to wash away that spouse and take care of a sinful relationship. Here's an example in Mark chapter 6. In Mark chapter 6, there was a guy named Herod. And he had a brother named Philip. And in the course of events, that somehow Philip's wife Herodias sort of took a fancy for this other Herod. And she just ups and gets rid of him, and she marries Herod. And John the Baptist calls attention to their sin. In Mark chapter 6 and verses 17 and following, "But Herod himself had sent forth and laid hold on John, and bound him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife, for he had married her. For John had said unto Herod, It is not lawful, it's not right for you to have your brother's wife. Therefore Herodias had a quarrel against him and would have killed him, and she could not." If simply being baptized would wash away the situation and make it right, well, why didn't they just simply do that and not take care of it? John was preaching the baptism of repentance for the remission of sins. Well, why couldn't they just be baptized? Well, because they understood the implications that they were in an unlawful relationship, and repentance demanded that they make a change. So baptism won't wash away wives, it won't wash away husbands that don't belong to you. So baptism will not do any of these things, but baptism will do all these things if we obey from the heart. Notice Romans chapter 6, 17 and 18. But God be thanked that you were the servants of sin. Past tense, you left that. But you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine or teaching which was delivered you. Being then when? When you obey from the heart this form of teaching, this pattern, this print of teaching. Being made free from sin, you became the servants of righteousness. So baptism will, ladies and gentlemen, it will bring all these blessings to us if we obey from the heart the pattern of teaching that is describing God's plan of salvation. Well, we extend God's plan of salvation. We've sort of talked about it. These are the steps that men and women must do in order to be saved, to be faithful. And if we do err, we have the second law of pardon. The second law of pardon doesn't mean that you're baptized again. It means that you repent and pray God. But these are the steps that men and women must do in order to be forgiven, to hear the gospel, to believe in Jesus Christ, to repent, turn to God, confess, and be baptized, immersed in water for remission of sins. Come up out of that watery grave and be faithful. We're going to sing this song, Your Encouragement. If there's one here that needs to come and obey God's plan of salvation, and we can help you to that end, let us know if we can help in any way while together as we stand and as we sing.